The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One present the NAWC. For nearly a decade, the wrestling podcast of record, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sponsored this week by the following.
The reason you didn't win the Royal Rumble match is because of me. And the reason you lost your Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania was because of me. And the reason you didn't win the Money in the Bank ladder match was because of me. So do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Do everyone here a favor. And let's put an end to this once and for all at Battleground.
You stand there and you talk about how I ruined our friendship. You know who ruined our friendship? It was you. It's your fault. It is. Because everything we've done since we've met was all to get to WWE, wasn't it? We fought together, we fought against each other, was always in the hopes of making it here. So when WWE came calling and you signed here a year and a half before I did, was I upset that you didn't wait for me? Was I upset that you made the right move for your career? No, I was happy for you, just like you should have been happy for me when I finally got to WWE and won the NXT title, but you weren't happy. No, you were furious, and why? Because my success came at your expense? What kind of friend does that make you, Sammy? You know what that proves? That proves that in the end, I was always a better friend to you than you were to me. But you know what? None of that matters now, because you want to settle this at Battleground. You want to go one more time at Battleground. You got it.
A huge match, a money-making match between the two of you. Not as big as what I'm going to be doing at Battleground, because I'm Chris Jericho, right? But just the fact that you got to announce this match on my show, the fact that you're both in the ring with me, puts you both on a different level. You're welcome. And on top of that, I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give all of you cretins something else. I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. Sit back as I give you the gift of Jericho. Drink it in, man.
Oh!
What the hell?
The gift of Jericho just got spiked.
Welcome one and all to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, a handful of the usual suspects. We'll start with our resident technician, VRM.
Yes, now that I'm not having to fix things here, I've got to fix things in the other job, and don't ask.
I'll save you the trouble and just keep moving around the table. We'll go to our resident legal eagle, Jason Block.
Yeah, It's a very interesting week, and you put it to you this way. Put it to you this way. The elephant in the room is the elephant in the room, so to speak.
Take a look at that. And our fourth, of course, fourth.
And don't worry. Unlike WWE, I actually know which demon fans want to see debut.
Very good.
Very nice. Good. Yes.
Though I cannot blame them for what they did. And poor Miz.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, Miz knows he's a chew toy. And frankly, I was hoping for Neville.
That's what I was hoping for, too. Yes.
I mean, you know, typical fan, I admit it. I sat there staring at my screen going, give me Neville. Please give me Neville. Right now I have a freeze frame of Happy Scary Dean with his lunch in his hand.
It's a Cuban.
Mark Cuban? So, but let's get to the news pile. Actually, I'm going to go with something that isn't news because we already know how my dear uncle's client is.
He has no fucks to give. Yes.
He has zero filter. He does not require a filter. And if you handed him a filter, he would probably eat it.
Lunch. Yes. Lunch. Yeah.
Just pretty straightforward. He was asked, you know, if, you know, win or lose it at UFC, how does that make him look for the WWE? He's like,
quote,
fuck if I know. Yeah, oh, go ahead.
Quote, I really don't give a shit.
And he shouldn't, because I don't think that's going to change any. That's not going to change many minds whether he wins or loses. We already know what he can do.
And he was asked if Stephanie McMahon, who said that the UFC, that the WWE isn't really supporting his fight from a promotional standpoint, he says, I don't know. I don't really care what she says. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And all he gives is about fighting at UFC 200. Beating Mark Hunt, and then basically says, I feel really good, training camp's going great, I'm happy with life, and, you know, I'm good. You know?
Yeah. Another quote, this is about me, I want to get in there and be an athlete again. That's what this is about. I don't have the button on the board right now, but essentially, yes, he would tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, put it to you this way. I bet you Paul gave a call to Stephanie and says, look, this has nothing to do with our relationship. Just chill. You know? And I don't think she really cares either, to be honest.
No, they don't. Because Brock does move the needle, and Brock does sell merchandise. In fact, they sold... I saw that they had Suplex City Las Vegas t-shirts up for sale recently. So, you know, they're going to make money no matter what happens to him in the UFC.
To the point where he is now the cover guy for WWE 2K17 in a pretty damn awesome ad that debuted this week.
Which had all kinds of neat little in-jokes, but it's blink and you miss it. Fourth VRM, have you guys seen this thing?
I have not seen it. I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
I've seen some of it. I know there was a point where a cage was lowering down on him, kind of like Hell in a Cell.
Oh, no, there's even more meta than that. The fight is taking place in the basement of the Broke Kick Saloon. In a neighborhood with a broken-down Ferris wheel called the Spinneroony. And not far from Del Rio's Mexican restaurant.
Oh, man. I will say this. I wanted the showcase mode to revolve around him just so that I know we can't have all the last four SummerSlam main events, but at least three of them would certainly be awesome to play as in game mode.
Oh, yeah. But they twisted Rob Schomburger's arm to do the cover art. The commercial is amazing and probably done by the same guy who did the Goldberg DLC ad. Had the same feel.
And of course, Chris Jericho decided to throw his cover on his Instagram, which was doofus.
Let me see that. Anybody got a link to that? I want to see this.
I can do that. Let me see if I can find it. Just give me a moment while I. Well, I find it for you.
Yeah.
Found it.
Oh, you have it?
Me see.
I'll drink it in.
Drink it in. Drink it in, man.
Yeah, you should... I think it's even funnier that he's still got bandages on his arm for the 69 thumbtacks. Otherwise, yeah, it should be the drink it in, man pose. That is hilarious. In his bid to stay relevant, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say it that way. Jared decided he wanted to launch his own freaking podcast network.
It's sort of a network within a network sort of thing.
Jareception.
Yeah. Plum. Plum. Yes. Wake up. Yes.
Oh, come on. The next level was going to be zombies. Anyway, but Jericho's starting his own little podcast network, which means he might be able to get all the, he might be able to dig around podcast. He's on podcast one, correct?
Yes. With the Austin, Ross. I think Ric Flair is on podcast one. I think. I'm not sure.
So I figure all these guys will migrate over to Jericho's channel. And give him some bonus kale. Say, yeah, come sit with me. We'll do some cross promotion. We'll interview each other. Have some drinks.
like he did when he's posting pictures of him and the Bullet Club in Hawaii right now.
Oh, God.
You know, because they're in Honolulu for a couple of days before they head over to Japan.
Right.
Poor guys are wrestling in Tokyo.
So, and one of those poor guys is Happy Scary Dean.
Jeez.
I was going to say first that one of those poor guys is Shinsuke Nakamura, who's up against Jericho.
Which, I demand video of said match. I don't care how. Actually, I still want video of the Nakamura-Owens match. Where Owens, in true dick fashion, just walked up to Nakamura while he's posing and stomped him in the gut.
Oh my god.
Yeah, if Jericho finished his post of the of this picture, like from the poster of him and Nakamura, with "Welcome to the big leagues, Baka."
Shots fired!
Yes. Anybody who hates on Jericho now, you know, he just called you a stupid idiot in Japanese.
Baka Janaide, yo. I mean, seriously.
Janaizo.
Yes, exactly. You know Nakamura is going to clean his fucking clock when he's in Japan.
I don't care. It'd be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch. Shut up and take my money. Somebody send me video. So, but yeah, no thanks to Roman Reigns' little transgression, which we discussed last week. Happy Scary Dean has had to do a lot of double duty. So he did, what was it? He did a double shot, did Raw, worked Raw, worked SmackDown. Then he flew out. Is he working Hawaii, or did they just send him straight to Japan?
Well, I'm going to find this for you. Just hold on. I have to find this because I have it. It's insane what he did this week.
I got it. Okay. He worked Boston on Saturday, double shot on Sunday, wrestled twice on Raw, which one of them was the dark main, twice at SmackDown, then on a 10-hour flight to Honolulu to work an event there. Then he flies to Tokyo to work live events on Friday and Saturday. And then we'll fly back to the States to work Raw and SmackDown again.
Jeez. Will he get any chance to sleep?
He can sleep on the plane. I don't think he sleeps much anyway.
No comment there, but yes.
I mean, I just actually what I do, what I picture is him pacing up and down, still grumbling a little bit about Roman Reigns screwing up his schedule. And when he catches up, they'll have a friendly embrace.
After that, what I'm going to do next, I can't even say on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, yeah, let's talk about that 320-pound elephant in the room, so to speak.
Well,
275.
He's in the 260s. I don't know if that's before or after, but we're into week one of his suspension. Before he went home, Hunter pretty much, I have this image of Hunter dragging him into the locker room by his ear and making him apologize to everyone in that locker room. Because currently the answer to what did he get popped for, the rumor, this is not confirmed, is that he got popped for amphetamines.
Oh, man.
So, this is bad. This
no
is
doubt.
Very bad. Fourth, you were going to say something? I'm sorry.
No, I just said no doubt about it being bad.
I mean, that's arrestable shit. Come on, man.
I can understand why they made him apologize to the guys, and whether you believe it's luck, or whether you believe it's connections, or whether you believe it's hard work, the spot that he had, really only one person can have, and to screw it up like that, it's something I would imagine would bother anyone in the company who works hard for their spot.
Well, so. Right. This is something that, Hunter dragged Roman, by his ear into the locker room and said, "You just fucked everything up for these guys. Apologize." And then they sent him home.
Yeah. And then they shamed him on national TV.
In a first for WWE, they rubbed salt in the wound by having Sellout Seth go out there and say, "Look what he did."
Not only did they pour salt in the wound, they put, vinegar, hot sauce, lemon juice. I mean, I honestly never in my... going back to see how far I am as a wrestling fan, WrestleMania 3 is like 87. In my 30 years as a wrestling fan, I have never seen anything like this. Ever.
But the reason they had to do that is because how many news outlets had the information? This was mainstream that he got wellnessed. So like any other athlete in any other sport, he was treated the same way. You're playing with the curtain here. But so many news outlets had that, Roman had violated the wellness policy. It's just like any other athlete.
Yeah, just like Johnny Manziel with his, but oh, wait, ha, ha,
ha, well, yeah, because he
wrong
got
show.
No, right show, actually, because he got suspended for 4 games. Okay. But even so, also, Roman's losing, according to the reports, about $100,000 this month.
Yeah.
Holy, that's insane.
Yeah, the only nice thing they're doing for him is letting him come back so he can get the pay-per-view payday.
And definitely given all the stuff we hear about, making him apologize and everything on TV and the big payday that he's missing out on, it at least removes doubt for me that he is not going to be winning the championship for a while when he returns. Not that I wish anything ill on him, but I think we all agree he should be kept away from it for quite a while, given what he did.
He's not going to see. He won't see it he will probably not have it back around his waist until the first of next year. I don't see him getting it again this year.
Not at all.
So, you know, I hate to say that, but, you know, as somebody who, you know, I'm a diehard Roman fan. I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But if that rumor is true, you done fucked up.
Yes. And I also think that they did this also because of the fact that the crowd was going to turn. You were going to hear "Where is Roman" chants if they didn't say anything. If they didn't address this, this was going to be said. You know, so.
And if he went out there, it would have been even worse.
Yep.
The cross chant joke I heard was, "You can't wrestle 30 days."
Ooh.
So,
wow.
It's good that he was not out there. And while some might think what they did to Roman was excessive, think of the media circus they would have had if Roman had actually gotten arrested. This isn't like RVD and Sabu back in 06. So, yeah. You get spanked, eat your shit sandwiches, and go home and think about it for a little while. But you'll be, you know, he'll come back. We'll get to see him come back. I'm not, you know, given how much coverage, I really think WWE really didn't have a choice. They couldn't sweep this under the rug. They really couldn't. Let's see. What else have I got here? Meanwhile, in another part of the show.
Oh my god, I'm sorry.
Still the best soundbite I've ever heard out of Slam City. Anyway,
no, but this week. Just saying. This week. Oh my god.
John Cena has got so much on his plate as it is. You know, he's back to working Raws. He's hosting the ESPYs pretty soon. And then Cricket Wireless called him because he was actually in one of their coverage areas. Oh, sorry. That was kind of mean. But they called him up and said, "Hey, can we borrow you for just a couple of hours?" So he reports to a little Cricket store, and they send out a thing for John Cena fans. Contrary to the internet's belief, they exist. So, we have a bunch of kids, a bunch of young women, a handful of adults, one older man, brought them in, and we're having auditions. So you got to listen to all these people mark out about John Cena. And then the director with a smirk would say, "Okay, now introduce him as if he was right behind you."
Oh,
oh man.
So they would go, you know, so they do the big dramatic thing, and then all of a sudden,
"His name is John Cena."
For real.
He comes busting through the wall with two trumpet players.
Oh my god. I need to find a video of this.
It's in the I've got it in the NAWC thread, but if you know, you go look that up. Also look at the behind the scenes thing, because this was adorable, awesome, fun. I would have loved to have been part of this project.
It was basically the unexpected John, I'm crying. I'm crying because Cena fucking gets it. He gets it. Oh, my God.
Yes, suddenly John Cena, for real. And making this meme real was serious business. But he did it. And just watching the kids jumping up and down, watching the girls screaming, even some of the guys.
Oh, jeez.
Were flipping out over the fact that he was there.
So can we say this has achieved ascended meme status?
Yes, this is an ascended meme because he's done it for real.
Yes, but the thing is just the beauty, because you got to see the behind the scenes stuff. It's like this one girl is like saying he's won like 40 championships. He's so great, and they ask her. This is one of my favorite things. What is his spirit animal? Pretty much,
mm-hmm.
and she says a tiger. So you see the face of the John Cena poster open up, and then John Cena. Head pops in there, and then she's describing this, and he goes, he's really my animal. Are you sure?
Are you sure about that? She rolls around, and screams. It's beautiful.
Oh my God. Oh man, I mean, it's insane how much joy that brought me this week. And it's simple. You know, it was just simple, absolute joy.
And simple, absolute doofus of the highest degree.
Oh, unexpected John Cena for real. Yeah, exactly. But he also was dealing with some guy named AJ Styles because, you know, he wanted to be in the main event.
Well, yeah, and I think those two are going to end up knocking heads at Battleground. So while you're looking up videos, VRM, go look up the ad for Battleground. They've got an automatic money machine going just in the presentation of this ad. How many marks would buy flags representing their favorite superstars?
Well, quite a few.
Okay. In the promotional ad for Battleground, they've got about...
All right, let me. I'll list them off. So we've got Seth Rollins.
Yes.
Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Sasha Banks. Cena mm-hmm. doesn't have a flag. Cena doesn't have a flag. There's Roman's flag.
Cena has a flag later in the ad.
Yep. Corbin.
Yep.
Ziggles.
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn. There's mm-hmm. Cena's flag. There's the New Day flag.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now throw in about another dozen superstars' flags. Cesaro, the Wyatts. Undertaker just because. Triple H just because.
Happy Scary Dean.
Yes.
Austin and The Rock just because.
Exactly.
The shop writes itself.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I can just see all this. I hope they actually have all these flags at Battleground. Even if it's just display for the pay-per-view set. I think it'd be even cooler if they had stands and the guys would come out with flags.
Yes.
Let's go all out with this. Seriously, this is just rule of cool. As like Jason said, something so simple, but so awesome.
And yet the only thing on shop right now that has the word flag in it is the WrestleMania 32 baseball hat and the Rock American Flag Brahma Bull shirt.
Dear WWE shop, find somebody who will print these for you, and the money will follow quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, if you ever go around in your suburban towns and or even in the major cities, and people have the windows for their favorite, for either their home country or their favorite international soccer team or whatever, hang out the window. Not only will you get the sales, but you'll also get free publicity when people hang them out their windows.
Yeah. Although, I know I would probably get some very odd looks if I had a Happy Scary Dean flag in my window. Because I just picture it. It's a plain black background with the Deanarchy logo in the center, so it looks like a great big pirate flag.
And they smell bad, too. Sorry, that was a Geico commercial. Anyway.
No. But it's right up there. I mean.
No, what you need to go to a custom print shop and get with the flag and then say, okay, now I want you to add this over top of it. And you have a GIF, like a transparent image of Happy Scary Dean.
Yeah.
But yes, it's a license to print freaking money.
Seriously. I'm sorry. And you know, in the smaller towns, there are people that would hang those kind of flags outside their, if they'll do it for sports teams, if they'll do it for causes, if they'll do it for holidays, why not this?
That's a segue. Causes.
Yes. Oh, very good.
WWE is waving another flag as they have found another cause to back, and that is the Special Olympics. A bunch of the Special Olympics kids got the honor to go work out at the Performance Center, and a bunch of them were presented on Raw with Big Show as the main ambassador. And there is a joke in there somewhere, and I can't. Not for a good cause. I can't. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I'm not. I'm going to be nice because this is actually really cool.
Definitely is pretty awesome. I'm definitely glad that they're able to do this with the Matt Bloom era of NXT with him as head trainer, because then there's no what have you rumors being said. It is just. You know, about these athletes, it's about them being able to, you know, have fun with some WWE guys, you know?
Yeah. because Albert's got his act together. Regal isn't there right now. Or is he? Somebody showed me a goofy video of Regal as in some office talking to a gal and Tajiri walks in.
Found that one.
Enjoy the continuity.
Yes.
As somebody who got to attend a Raw when they were still tag team champions. Yes, that video.
I'm checking it out now.
Yes, definitely that video. As somebody who was a fan of this tag team when they were champions in early 2005. In fact, now that Raw is actually uploaded, if you want to laugh, go look up the February 14th, 2005 Raw. And shameless self-promotion, I was the only one in the arena that night with a sign for these guys.
Regal sign. Regal's going, oh no.
No, not again.
His looks like, what did you do?
Did he actually mouth the fuck when he turned to the camera at some point?
Yeah, he did mouth the fuck. That's what he did. He did.
It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, yes, continuity. Yes. Oh, dear God. Yes, and Lordy. Oh, and by the way, I hope WWE raises a ton of money for the Special Olympics too.
I think they will. I think Definitely. They will because, I do see a lot of disabled fans at shows.
Yep.
And I think they're well aware that they have a fan base in that. I don't want to call it a demographic because that's pretty broad. But they know they have a fan base there, and this is giving back. So please do so, and do so with impunity. Speaking of special individuals, that's kind of a segue. It's probably not a very nice segue, but outside of the title picture, the other big storyline going on right now is the New Day and the Wyatts. And the Wyatts knocked it out of the freaking park Monday night.
That whole thing was awesome. Though I will say, sadly for Braun Strowman, no one in the New Day was dressed as him.
And Xavier's Luke Harper was okay. He's just a little too buff.
Yes.
And the shirt was clean.
Yes, but the video for it was hilarious. Oh my god!
Yes. And then both teams making fun of each other in the process, but then Wyatt just weaving it all the way back into mesmerizing Xavier Woods.
He's a video game player. He should know his enemy's weak points.
And he should be well aware that this is one point in the adventure where he should be, pressing the no button, X out, man.
Yeah, but I don't think there's a save point. He's in trouble. Up, down, down.
He loves these jump scares too much.
Yes, he does. There ain't no ground cake. Anyway,
But this is all fun and good. My guess is that since the New Day is going to, if the tag team titles are not defended until Battleground, the New Day will break Lundrick's record for longest tag team title reign. So, do you think that pulling Xavier away from the New Day is the key to the Wyatts actually getting those tag belts away from them?
I'll let other people say before I give my opinion.
Certainly seems that way to me. I mean, he's the mouthpiece. He's the guy that when he's not actually wrestling is distracting everyone with Francesca too. So if they can shut him down, then they can just divide and conquer easily the rest of the team.
Aaron?
Yeah, well, like we said, if I were to quantify the three members in New Day,
mm-hmm.
Big E's the body,
mm-hmm.
Kofi's the heart, and Woods is the soul.
And right now Xavier's soul's getting sucked out through his nostrils.
Yeah.
And Jason, you probably heard a key word in Fourth's answer.
Which was?
Francesca.
Where'd she go? Yes. I don't know. Maybe to the instrument repair shop? I have no idea.
Did Enzo catch her again?
I thought Enzo, sorry, I had to plug in there for a sec. I thought Enzo was having too much fun this week doing something. I don't remember what he was doing.
He might. He, oh, no, no, no. Too soon. Can't make that joke.
No. No.
Can't make that joke. Sorry.
But, yes, Enzo Amore, yeah.
So, let me see what else I've got in here. Okay, we know that the Cruiserweight Classic is well underway. With the brand split coming up, we know that a few people's phones have been ringing, and among those handful of phones that were ringing was a certain dork. Jason Jordan's father? No, I can't say that. Kurt Angle. I'm sorry, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle spoke up that, you know, he wants to finish his career in WWE, but it's not going to happen this year. He's had a chat with Hunter. Nothing was really guaranteed. So no, he will not be at the draft. And, you know, Kurt, we'd love to have you. I'd love to have you back in a managerial role, because I would pay a lot of money just to see a training video with you and Jason Jordan and Chad Gable.
Yes.
5 minutes of mat wrestling and chatter.
Yes.
Sold. Shut up and take my $9.99. Let's see. Okay, we are recording on June 30th. So before I go into our big segment to discuss the year so far, I first want to wish Kappa Aimee a very happy birthday.
Yes.
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 We miss your work, man. We need you back. We need you back doing cartoons. I need more Happy Scary Dean. I need more Happy Scary Dean, and I need more Sell Out Seth. I need more Oh Sasha. I need more Oh Bailey. And Finn Balor with the accent on the A. But we'll see it soon enough. But yes, we are pretty much exactly in the middle of the year. So, 6 months of wrestling, and I gave you guys on the run sheet here. I've got 9 stories for the considering the big news that has happened this year.
And I have a 10th that I've completely forgot to mention, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. These aren't in any particular order, I don't think. Whoops. Okay. These aren't in any particular order. This was just off, you know, this was just me and Jason off the top of our heads. One of the big ones early this year was Daniel Bryan officially, formally retiring.
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing this, Nikki, and we were all wondering, is he going to come back? Is he going to, you know, is it all a work? Are they keeping him down? You know, who the fuck is clearing him? What's going on? And all that sort of stuff.
And, you know, VRM, you remember some of these discussions at the beginning of the year where we were arguing over whose doctor, you know, which doctor was right.
Yeah, there were like 10 different doctors going on, second opinions all over the place, 30 doctors saying no, and then another doctor ran another test, and suddenly it's like, oh. Oh.
Yeah. So we knew we were at an if and when point with it, and we really wanted it to be, you know, when he comes back. And it turns out that he couldn't come back.
But he got to go out his way in his hometown.
Exactly. And that, you can't ask for more than that.
Yes. I will say one thing about Daniel Bryan. I know at some point during that brilliant promo, he talked about feeling like a superhero sometimes, and something tells me with Daniel Bryan, he doesn't want to be looked at as a superhero necessarily, so much as a normal guy that got to live his dream. And a lot of people want to keep going for even a small dream, and he is an example of them. He's wants to be remembered as one of them who got to live it. I think that's probably the best way to describe him.
And, now that he's kind of sneaking back in doing commentary for the Cruiserweight tournament, we got our closure. So, but it'll be good to see him and hear him.
Yeah.
And in a tangential thing, his wife is now retired as well. Right, that's after WrestleMania.
That's true. Brie's retired. Is Nikki formally retired yet?
No. She's training to come back.
More power to her, but
she ain't missed. No disrespect to her, but she ain't missed.
And actually, I'll use that as a segue, and I'm going to go to a different part of the list. The injury cavalcade.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
What was that clip? So, who has the shoulder surgery?
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, it just felt like, half the upper card, and it was the fact that there was so many upper card and main eventers that were out.
Some of whom are still out.
Some are still out, but we've got, but we got Cesaro back, we got Rollins back, we got Cena back, like it or not. Itami's due back soon. Neville's due back soon.
Orton's due back soon.
We got Sammy back at the Rumble.
And I think who else were we missing? We had the scare with Enzo. He wasn't on the list that we were using at the time, but still.
But yeah, it was crazy.
It was definitely the moment where the panic button was hit to build up WrestleMania.
Which I will also segue. This was the biggest WrestleMania in a lot of good and bad ways. It broke attendance records. It was 7 hours total, if you counted all the pre-show stuff.
Jesus, yes.
Oh, God. So we started coverage at, what, 5 Eastern?
Who's snoring in there, by the way? Or is that a cat purring?
It's just my dog in the background.
Oh, my God. That's cool.
Oh, we bored your dog to sleep. I'm sorry.
No.
No, that's all good. I was just like, damn, that's a big dog.
But, no, it went on and on and on and on. It was too much. I mean, great for them. They finally broke the Silverdome attendance record, which was inflated on in its own right. They put on a decent show. I just, a lot of us were going in with a slightly sour taste in our mouths
because we knew what was going to happen in the last hour.
Right. And some people weren't happy about that, and some people were ambivalent about that. I was. Everybody shut up and watch the fucking match. But, so that'll give me someplace else to go. The continuing of the Roman Reigns experiment, up to and including recent events. This has been a nasty, nasty ride.
Mm. Yeah, from the matches where they've had to, including WrestleMania, where they've actually muted the fans to trying to go with the idea of Reigns being a tweener. It was certainly one of the strangest things I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
to the to the suspension this past week. I mean, again, it's one of those things where the fans are going to get what they want, which is a deep push of Roman Reigns. The question is, more importantly, where does WWE go from here? And it's going to be very interesting to see what's what.
Right. I mean, right now they've got an easy continuity built feud with Ambrose and Rollins. They can just go with that because the Ambrose cashing in on Rollins at Money in the Bank was definitely closure to the original mess that they were in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be kind of fun to watch Rollins chase Dean. Because for some reason, I just get this image of Rollins running full tilt while Ambrose has got the belt on his shoulder and he's just strolling along, whistling some random tune. And Rollins, like Wile E. Coyote, just goes charging back past him into a wall.
Yes, but CrossFit Jesus is looking well, thank you very much.
Oh, he is. He is. I'm glad he's back. I'm very glad he's back. Let's see. Okay. This is so big it took two spots. While it seems to be two different events, it's all because of one singular event, and that's Shane.
Yeah, and by the way, raise your hand if you saw that coming. Yeah, me neither.
Precisely. Who saw that coming? Because I certainly didn't. It had been, almost 7 years. And he'd had a very, he had a successful media business going on in China. So he just kind of opened the gates and said, "Hey, Pops. Hey, Hunter. We got some stuff set up here. Can I borrow your network?" And they said, "Shano, can we borrow you?" So Shane O'Mac coming back and WWE getting their foothold in China
are not unrelated.
They are very well related. If Shane hadn't come back, I don't think WWE would even be in China right now.
Nope.
Obligatory mention. TNA is still TNA.
And yeah. The Hardys are writing a possible Gawker award-winning angle as we speak.
If that freaking the contract signing video doesn't win the freaking Gawker,
I'm going to be disappointed.
I'll be shocked and saddened.
No, we've got something even worse coming, actually. Because I'm actually having a match at their house.
And it's for the right to the name Hardy.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, God, this is worse than the T-feud in WCW. No! God help me. No buys. No buys, no interest. Aerolux, pull the plug now. Run while you still can.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The Hardys will shoot this shit all on GoPros anyway, so.
Yes, Owen, but let's be real here and let's talk about it. Billy Corgan is a minority owner in the company.
Yes.
That's for real. Okay, let's not deny that fact. They're still not really a touring company anymore.
Correct.
And they still only tape a certain time. While the product may be good,
The behind the scenes stuff is screwed up because I forget what happened, but they had some weird thing with the tapings, and several wrestlers who were supposed to go and tour the UK, like Ethan Carter, Drew Galloway, they had to do the TNA tapings, and they missed out on a pretty good chunk of change.
I was going to say, that's some serious, European paydays are awesome. And missing out on that, that's got to hurt. you know, top this with the fact that they're shooting, you know, they're shooting their shows in a warehouse, or actually, no, the offices are in the warehouse. Are they shooting there too?
I think they're still in the impact zone for now, but it wouldn't surprise me if at some point they have to shoot in a section of the warehouse, like a TV show.
You know, pink. You know, the pink room. Anybody?
Oh man.
And just, you know, the money problems just keep on coming. You know, where they, you know, they're behind on paying people. Aerolux got, you know, was getting shafted on money, so they were going to sit on their equipment, and TNA almost didn't get their one of their pay-per-views on the air. Then
the big one, Slammiversary. The big one.
Yeah.
One of the big four.
Yeah. Then we had the Storm incident where we got, you know, 90 minutes of commercials.
In their defense, it wasn't their fault, but we at least now know that Donna Pinciotti has the biggest hands in the world.
So, let's see. And the other one I had on the list is the Cruiserweight Classic. This completely off-brand thing that's going on that we will get to, that they'll actually start airing somewhere in July?
July 10th.
Okay. Because they're already in the process of recording matches. If you want spoilers, you can go look them up. I'm not looking for any of it. Because I just want to see it happen. I'm just so stoked that, you know, so many people are getting opportunities. So what is the number 10? Oh, no, this is the other one I forgot. And shame on me because we forgot it when we were discussing this. AJ freaking Styles.
Good grief.
If you had told me 2 years ago that AJ would be in the Fed, I'd have laughed at you.
If you said last year
that AJ would be in the Fed, I would have laughed even harder because I know he was making serious bank in Japan. If you told me the afternoon of the Rumble that AJ Styles was going to be there, that was a rumor at that point.
The week before the Rumble.
Okay,
Actually, no. It was, I remember 2 weeks before the Rumble, there was a video from an independent show where AJ was speaking and then the Royal Rumble champ broke out and he teased it.
And that turned into Willie or Wony. But yeah, if you told me in late 2015 that AJ was going to be in the Fed, I still would have laughed at you. And he got to leapfrog NXT. He's already main evented a pay-per-view.
He's had two shots at the heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been there 6 months.
And he's in a big-time feud with John Cena right now.
Yes. Which will definitely continue into Battleground.
And SummerSlam.
Absolutely. Which means, hey, guys, John Cena's not chasing the belt.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Something missed here on the top 10 list.
What did I miss?
Tie it back into retirements.
Yes, you're right. The retirement of Sting.
Yes. That's right. Of course. That's a story, yes.
But he, you know, he did it with grace, and it was with perfect timing. He did it at the Hall of Fame because you have to. That is a qualification to go into the Hall of Fame. You have to be retired. Yeah. Take notes, Rick.
I will say, while we were deprived of the possible dream match with The Undertaker, at the very least, you know, Sting's speech at the Hall of Fame. You know, he had some funny moments, some serious moments. And even down to when he picked up the bat and he simply said to the fans, see you later. It was what he needed in terms of a WWE moment.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of The Undertaker, he had a match with some guy named Shane McMahon. Shane, you crazy son of a bitch.
Oh, God. Why?
I reiterate, why? I agree.
Because it's the only way he knows how.
That's true.
He comes out with his kids, which, by the way, was a last-minute decision.
Yeah. So they were crazy amped about that.
Right. And then, okay, you do the spot off a 20-foot cage. Are you out of your fucking mind? Really?
I mean, everybody on the live cap was like, oh, my God, please don't die.
Yeah. And I was at
it was 100% full legit concern.
Yeah, because I saw him look up and I said, "No, don't do it, please, don't." Shit, he's gonna do it, isn't he? He started climbing.
We knew it when he brought out the bolt cutters. It's like, oh no.
I didn't think he would do it until he actually looked up. I thought they would do something kind of like what Ambrose and Rollins did, where they
the half fall.
Yeah, when they got about half, two-thirds way up the cage, and both of them went through the table. I'd have been okay with that, but no Shane.
When he did that cross, I knew he was jumping. It's like, yeah, he's going to jump now.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I knew he was going to do it when he looked up, and I almost wish he hadn't.
More balls than brains.
Yeah. And, of course, the match, from a storyline perspective, meant absolutely nothing. Sorry, guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do a crazy fucking stunt like that, and then you do that? Nah, not good.
Yeah,
okay.
Come on, man.
The only positive about that is that if it really is The Undertaker's last Mania, then why not do it in his home state with that one moment where all the flash bulbs go off? With Shane jumping off the cage, So at least a glass half full in that sense.
That's true.
Another story that we forgot to talk about
is
the growth of the WWE Network itself. It's doing gangbusters, thank you very much. What is it, 1.8 million, something to that effect?
Well, yeah. We'll have financials in a couple weeks, because end of Q2. Today.
Yeah.
Yep, and we'll find out if the 400,000 people that signed up during WrestleMania month actually stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
I should rephrase myself. Not just end of calendar Q2, but isn't this end of fiscal technically?
Not 100% sure, but yeah, we're going to see a lot of numbers really soon. Here's another story for you. NXT continues to grow and grow and grow.
Heck with a lot of the people getting called up, Owens and Becky and Charlotte, it's great to see them able to fill the ranks with people like Nakamura. And I would hope that they get Deonna Purrazzo to a contract at some point, and possibly even Bobby Roode. So they're able to sustain themselves.
So here's the question. When do they pull a trigger on Finn Balor for main roster? Because
I'm trying to figure out myself. I know they dropped their copyright for Balor Club. So I'm trying to figure out if that's in relation to putting him on the main show. Maybe they don't want to have two different clubs or have him with the club.
Let's see. Balor should come up with the new. I think he would come up with the draft. I would love to see him come up with the draft. Because he's going to finish his business with Joe before the draft, correct? Or he's already finished his business with Joe?
I think he has. He's going to have a bout with Nakamura, but I don't know if it's going to be a one-time thing or full-blown angle.
Yeah, I'm not sure about picking him up with the draft, because then you have to shoehorn him into something at Battleground.
Hmm.
That seems like, I know they've done it in the past. They've more than done it in the past, but still. I don't see it.
Well, they could bring him up with the draft, or he could be drafted and they just not do anything with him until after Battleground.
Mm-hmm.
They could, you know, there's a couple different ways they can go with that. I just think that he's going to show up sooner than later. But if you're bored.
Oh, one other big story.
Yeah.
Hogan and the PayPal founder destroying Gawker.
Oh, yes! That is true!
That is just true. Hogan dropping the leg on Gawker.
Yeah.
Again. He's going to keep doing it until they run out of money.
Aren't they already out of money?
Yeah, they are out of money, but the thing is that the rumor is that I read somewhere that Hogan may be coming back to the Fed sooner rather than later, too. I've heard this.
Yeah, that's a rumor going around. And if he shows up and cuts a promo coherently, awesome. He's obviously not going to do anything in the ring.
What I want to know is if they'll at least have him hint that he had a windfall. I would hope they did, just because it'd be the better thing related to that they could talk about.
Yeah. That'd be something that they could at least discuss, not his evening habits or his personal opinions of others.
Yeah, if you keep it to the wrestling ring, it'll be fine. You know?
So?
Put it to you this way. It's been a very interesting year, and we probably forgot more stories than you were thinking of, but I mean, these were the stories that stuck out to us, or at least to me, you know, regarding this sort of thing.
Right. I'm not going to, there's stuff that's too recent to really, you know, discuss further. Dean Ambrose as the WWE champion, the upcoming brand split, SmackDown going live, since that hasn't happened yet. Although SmackDown being live on Tuesdays means that Impact's going to have to move around some more. Were they doing Wednesdays?
They're doing Tuesdays now, but they may have to move to Wednesday.
Because they're going to get slaughtered. You know, if their ratings are bad now, wait till, you know, July 19th, they're dead.
Oh, man. So speaking of SmackDown, I guess an honorable mention in terms of the stories would be the success of Mauro Ranallo as a commentator.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And Jim in his recovery room is going, yay, Mauro. We miss you, Jim, by the way. We keep thinking about you.
We're thinking about you, man. I could throw the Lawler story in there, but that's actually still kind of recent. Though it's big in the fact that Lawler's been a staple at the commentary table for the better part of 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he disappeared for, what was it, a year or two when Kat got fired? But
I'd also imagine you want to avoid a lot of the downer stuff, because there's one thing I was going to say, but I didn't want to because I want to avoid the negative stuff.
That's fine. I think I know what you were going to say, and We'll skip that.
Cool.
We've got another 6 months of insanity coming, and this is good insanity. With Happy Scary Dean leading the way, yay!
I don't you think Kappa Amy's sort of version? Do you have that isolated or no?
I don't have that last part. I don't think you got that isolated.
I thought I posted that up. No, that's just the big full thing, I think.
Yeah, you only gave me the whole thing. You didn't give me the one little piece.
I didn't isolate the...
I am your god now. Yeah, I am your god now. The world is a scary place.
I do have it isolated.
Well then, don't just stand there, play it.
Give me 1 second, since I'm going to have to do this. 1 second, audio.
Send that to Ms. Haven. I think she wants that on the board.
Yeah. I just make sure which one that was. Yeah, that one.
Okay. But while he's doing that, if you are curious to how you could put a draft together, WWE.com has a fantasy draft section where you can either do your own draft or press the random button and see if you can do any better than what creative had in mind.
Oh, and by the way, we have breaking NXT news, actually, for you. Literally right now, as we speak.
I'm listening.
Take a look. Some guy is back on the NXT fold.
Let's have a look at that. Aha! I mentioned this earlier, but yes, indeed, Itami is back. Now, what do you do with him?
Nakamura versus Itami, anybody?
Just the fact that the picture here shows Itami versus Samoa freaking Joe.
Yes.
That's a good start.
Ooh, Brian with some interesting news posting from Sports Illustrated.
Okay.
Bit of a crossover. Apparently, Sports Illustrated did an interview with Mike Adamley, Bill Conti, and a bunch of other guys who were involved in the original American Gladiators.
Okay.
And they had some not nice things to say about 2008.
I can imagine.
What, just because Adam Lee got completely ridiculously ridiculed because he didn't pronounce somebody's name correctly?
No, I mean, not in terms of that. I mean, in terms of the revival of American Gladiators with Hogan.
Okay.
Oh, wow. And apparently they, like, really hated the whole thing and cheered on immensely when it got canceled.
Jeez.
That's a shame. I'm kind of sorry to hear that. I only watched a couple of episodes and I've actually met Wolf.
His freaking Canadian destroyer on the pyramid. That's the moment that stands out in the revival to me, when Wolf did the Canadian destroyer on the pyramid and his, "I'm smelling fear, I'm smelling blood, and I'm gonna eat you."
Why didn't WWE pick this man up anyway? Or did they think that he looked too much like Cody Deaner?
Possibly.
But no, I'm surprised, not surprised. You know, it's hard to when you've got an original that was that awesome, that's hard to top and that's hard to match. I mean, the game show community sees this all the time.
Yeah, but hey,
segue into plugs?
That sounds like a very good segue, you know?
Yes. So, Jason, I know you've got a great big pile, so I'm going to check with these guys first.
Go for it.
Fourth, do you have anything to promote?
Not much. The only thing I will say is I did order the book that I said I was going to get last week, so it should be here anytime, and I'll let you guys know how it is.
Yes, please do. VRM, do you have anything to promote?
I do not have anything to promote this week, no.
Okay. Jason, that's all you.
Last night, it's actually Tuesday night, we recorded a new edition of We Love to Interrupt, reviewing the new versions of Pyramid and Match Game, which I went to a taping of yesterday. BS Big Show will be back. Touch 'em All in Jim's stead will be DC Lundberg, will be guest hosting this weekend. I believe Pixel Nation has taken the holiday week off. Red State, Blue State's on hiatus till Jim gets back. And, of course, all the other shows you could hear on Freakin' Awesome Network here. Not Freakin' Awesome, Spectrum1.net, Overcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Player.fm, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, and all the sources we talked about before, and all the good programs here on Spectrum 1.
Currently, a paper review with me and Chris Waters is still having some technical difficulties, but we are trying to get everything back up and running. In fact, I can't go into details, but let's just say some days computers really suck.
Yeah.
And if that gets us kicked off the internet for an hour, I'll at least know why. But I really don't have anything else to promote because I'm right here. So, gentlemen, I really appreciate your time. And, you know, here's to the rest of 2016 and how much more chaos that we can see and cause.
Yes!
So, for Jason Block, for VRM, for Forth, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do come back next week. And do remember, for now... Good night, everybody.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at spectrumone.net.